This sermon was preached by Pastor Naphtali Ogalo of Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret, Kenya, for the Lord's Day 21st March 2021 during the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. We welcome you to join with us for worship at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret. We are located within West Indies Estate on Cargo Street behind Cargo Flat, Eldoret Town. I bring God's Word to you again, and I want to introduce my sermon saying this. How do you react to problems? How do you react to problems? For example, when you lose your job, when there is a persistent sickness over a loved one or yourself, when there is frustration in the family that doesn't just seem to go away, do you become angry and bitter so that you mistreat everyone on your way? Or do you bite your teeth and say, well, it's my turn, and I wonder how long this will last? Or do you curse and swear, blaming God, and saying things like, why me? This is unfair. Now, you may deny all this and say, not me. That is only possible with someone who is faithless, but surely not me. If you respond like that, so how does someone with faith then react? How does true faith act? You know, the Bible does not define faith, but it tells us how true faith acts. Let me show you. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. And the passage we are reading in Matthew 15 is actually having its parallel in Mark chapter 7. So Matthew 15 is very similar to the passage in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. But we are going to read Matthew 15, 21 to 28. As you know, for those who have been receiving these messages, I have been going through the book of Matthew, passage by passage. I want to read, therefore, verses 21 to 28 in your hearing. This is what it says. And I'm calling today's sermon, How Does True Faith Act Towards the Person of Jesus? How does true faith act towards the person of Jesus? I read. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he, that is Jesus, did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, Send her away, for she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Well, let us pray. Lord God, thank you for another opportunity to preach your word. And I pray for those who listen to my preaching this morning, Lord. Oh, that the understanding of your word will give them light, so that they would see something of the Savior, the Savior who will welcome any and all who trust in him. And Lord, we pray that this passage about his interaction with this Canaanite woman will give us great encouragement in our faith. Oh Lord, speak then. Help me to explain and apply your word in a helpful way. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage we have read, I want to draw out a few things from it for our good. At least three things from this passage. And as I've said, I'm calling today's sermon, how does true faith act towards the person of Jesus? Now, in the first place then, from this passage, I want us to see that true faith will spring up or will appear from the felt awareness of your need. True faith will appear from the felt awareness of your need. We see there in verse 22 of this woman we meet in this passage, a Canaanite or a Gentile woman living in the region of Tyre and Sidon. And she has a little daughter severely possessed of a demon, unclean spirit. Now you can just imagine the discomfort that they, that is the mother and the daughter, went through day by day. Because this disease being talked about, demon possession, was a harmful disease. Indeed, it was harmful. Because we read, and let me quote Mark chapter 9, because there we also find another incident where this disease is explained a little. Mark chapter 9, verses 17 onwards. And this is what we read. And someone from the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. Then the passage goes on to say, the Lord Jesus says, bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out and the boy was like a corpse, that is, like someone dead. So that most of them said, he is dead. I hope that gives you some picture of how harmful this demon possession or unclean spirit really is, or was in this case. You see, this issue, this matter, caused the mother great anguish of heart. And just then, she hears of Jesus. And in fact, I will be making reference to the parallel passage, as you now know. I'm preaching from Matthew 15, but I make reference to Mark chapter 7. So, we are told that when this woman heard that Jesus had come into their area, well, then she sought for him. And I use that word because Jesus, yes, had come into this area from where he previously was, but Jesus did not want himself to be known. He wanted a private, a quiet time away. However, Mark chapter 7 verse 25 tells us, yet he could not be hidden. So she was convinced that Jesus is the one who can help him, help her in her need, and she would find him wherever he is, because she had heard a word that Jesus had come into their region. You see, she had a need, and honestly, that need propelled her. By way of illustration, there is another passage that makes a lot of relevance. The passage we often call the prodigal son passage in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15 verses 17 to 20. And the phrase that I want us to understand is this. He came to himself. This is, of course, the story of that prodigal son who went away, squandered all the portion of property the father gave him. When all was gone, he came to his senses. He came to himself. You see, when he came to himself, he said, I will go back to my father. And of course, plead my case. This woman too came to herself. Her sense of need was driving her. Let me plead with you as you listen to me today. I want to plead with you to come to yourself. Do you know, afflictions or problems are often not bad. Now, don't be shocked by that statement. But honestly, afflictions or problems are often not bad. In other words, they can be good. Yes. Because they are often used by the Lord to bring us to the awareness of our need of Him. That is an important point. And I'm urging each one listening to see, reflect. Are you in a particular affliction at the moment or a problem? That can be for your good. as it turns you to be aware of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who indeed then can fulfill your need. You see, if she didn't have a sick child, then this woman would have lived and died in careless ignorance and never would have met Jesus. Do you see that? She never would have met Jesus. But she had a need, a sick child. But let me say something else again by way of application. And really, to ask again, what is your current affliction? What is your current affliction or problem? Will you not realize that the Lord Jesus is your greatest need? He is your greatest need. Now, I could well sense some objection. And you may be saying, Pastor, you talk like you don't have any problem. That's not true. I too have my afflictions, my problems. But you see, the scriptures tell us, the psalmist tell us in Psalm 119 verse 71, it was good that I was afflicted, that I may keep your law. Imagine, can you talk about your problem, your affliction like that? Are you able to look back and say, wow, now I understand. That affliction that fell on me, it drew me closer to the Lord. And therefore, what a joy it was to have had communion with the Lord. And so afflictions are not always bad. I often put it this way, anything that leads us to pray to God is good. God wants us always to pray, but we don't always pray. But anything that leads us to pray, to cry out to God, God, have mercy, that is good. And so, that is the first thing then that we see here, that true faith will appear from the felt awareness of your need. But in the second place, I say this, true faith will not be hindered by anything as you pursue the answer to your need. True faith will not be hindered. No amount of obstacle will be on its way as you pursue the answer to your need. In other words, of course, obstacles will be there, but you are determined to get an answer to your need. And that's what I want us to see next. As I had encouraged you when we were beginning, I'm preaching from Matthew chapter 15, but it is very helpful if you'd have your Bible open also in Mark chapter 7. Let me first of all give you a summary of what we are seeing so far in the book of Matthew. You see, all the earlier chapters, right from chapter 1, where we got the introduction, but especially chapter 4, where the Lord Jesus began his ministry. So all the way from chapter 4 to chapter 15, verse 20, which we saw last week, we are basically seeing Jesus' ministry among the Jews, mainly. But our passage today, that is verses 21 to 28, but from Matthew 15:21 all the way to Matthew 20, verse 34, we see here Jesus and his ministry spreading out now, if you like, to the heathen world. He's not only concentrating among the Jews, but he's reaching out, beginning to reach out to the heathen world, that is the non-Jewish people. Hence, we may put it this way, this particular passage we are seeing today is the opening encounter for Jesus with the Gentiles. The Gentiles, you will appreciate, who knew very little of messianic promises. Very little. Of course, there was some little knowledge, as we will see even in this passage, but they knew very little compared to the Jewish people, who the Bible says the promises and the fathers were for them. But for the Gentiles, no, these things are not for them. So, we see this woman. She sought for Jesus when he didn't want any publicity. But honestly, we are seeing here true faith being persistent and persevering. Let us now see what I am calling from this passage the battle of faith. The battle of faith. There seems to be something here that I can just picture it as a battle, a wrestling match, if you like, a competition, if we may use that. Having found where Jesus was, this woman, we are told, the way she behaved and what things she said, and it's just amazing how then she comes to Jesus and Jesus responds or no response. And we therefore see four rounds of conversation between Jesus and this woman. So as I've said, you can think of a wrestling match, a boxing match, some tournament, a knockout, that two teams in the field, a winner must be found by the end. And so if it is football, they are playing the first 45 minutes, then there's a break, then another 45 minutes, and if there is no winner, then there is another break, and a few more minutes are added thereafter, and another 15 minutes would be added thereafter. In a case where there is a draw, then there will be the penalties. Whichever illustration works for you, but think of two teams fighting it out. And there are four rounds in this particular passage. Remember, what we want to see is that true faith will not be hindered by anything as you pursue the answer to your need. And so, look at it with me. Pay close attention to your Bible. I will both be referring to Matthew chapter 15 and then later Mark chapter 7. Round 1. The woman in chapter Matthew 15 verse 22, we see this woman, the Bible says, she cried out, "O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed." That's what she gives out. as what she utters, she cries out. In this round one, the Lord Jesus has an opportunity there in verse 23. And listen to this, verse 23. But he, Jesus, did not answer her a word. In other words, dead silence from Jesus. And that is round one. Round two. The woman. In verse 23, Matthew 15, verse 23, we see in this passage, she followed crying. She followed them crying. And by the way, as we read this, I want us to understand this. Remember, Jesus has come into this region of Tyre and Sidon and was in some house, didn't want anyone to know it. She has run around, searched for him, finally found him. And it looks like when she, in the first round, she cried out, "Oh Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed." As we move to the second round, could it be that they actually, in the house where they were trying to be there secretly, I mean, their privacy is finished. They may well have walked out of the house, maybe walking along the street, because we are told she followed crying. And the passage goes on and tells us in verse 23, the disciples pleaded with Jesus. And listen to what they said. They pleaded with Jesus, "Send her away. She is crying after us. After us." So, for someone to do something after you, and like in this case, they seem to be walking, and she is crying, following them. In this second round, the Lord Jesus, in verse 24, says something to her. And he says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Do you catch that? That's what he tells this woman. Basically, the Lord Jesus is telling this woman, "My mission, you woman, my mission is to the children of Israel, who God calls the lost sheep. I did not come for the Gentiles, for the Greeks." Wow. Now that is second round. She has cried out. The Lord Jesus Christ has spoken for the first time, but basically telling her, my mission is not for you. It is for Israel. We move to the third round. In the third round, the woman, Matthew chapter 15, verse 25. And we are now told she does something. The woman knelt before him. And this kneeling is the kneeling of worship. And we often read that in the Bible, someone falling down, prostrate, before another. And this is what she's doing. She kneels up. She falls down in worship before him. And listen to what she says. "Lord, help me." Now, the response of Jesus is captured in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 verse 27, the Lord Jesus responds to her by saying, "Let the children be fed first." Let the children be fed first. And basically it goes on really to say, Do you know, woman? Because you are a Gentile, amplifying it, because you are a Gentile, you are but a dog, not a wild dog in the bushes, but you are like a puppy, you are like a house dog. You are not equal, you do not have an equal position to the children or with the children in the house. You are low. Your place is not on the table. And therefore, let the children be fed first. That is the response of the Lord Jesus. And that third round ends. Now, let us go to the fourth round, which is the final round. The final round. The woman. And we get this in Mark chapter 7, verse 28. These two passages are very closely similar, but a few things are added here and there, which is, again, very helpful. In the final round, that is fourth round, the woman, in Mark 7, verse 28, listen to this. She responds by answering, remember what she had been told. Let the children be fed first. You are a dog. And then her response now in fourth place. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Basically, she's saying, yes, Lord, I am a dog. Compared to your children, the children of Israel, I'm a Gentile dog. Yes, Lord. But she goes on. But all I need are the crumbs that fall under the table. And this is the picture. She admits, yes, I'm a dog. The children are on the table. I cannot claim a position among them. However, Lord, as the children eat, crumbs of necessity will fall. Pieces of food will fall to the floor, to the table and then to the floor. Lord, that is all I need, what falls under the table. And please listen, that was her very last bullet, if we may turn the illustration. If she had a gun and she was shooting, and the Lord Jesus shoots, shooting, and then the Lord Jesus shoots, she has just shot her last bullet. Yes, Lord, but all I need are the crumbs that fall under the table. Then the Lord Jesus, in Matthew 15:28, gives us this response. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Mark chapter 7, verse 28 captures it this way. Go your way. Your child has been healed. I may paraphrase it and put it this way. Go your way. You have won. You have won. Now, please. A question must be asked at this moment. How did this impending defeat, and it was impending defeat, in the first round, she could not even be given an answer. In the second round, she was just being told by the disciples, Lord, just send her away. She's making noise following us. In the third round, you'd think she is put off. You're a dog. I'm feeding the children first. So what happened? What happened? that this which was to us a clear defeat turns into a brilliant victory. You know what happened? Listen to this. She hung on the words of Jesus. She hung on the words of Jesus. Take note again of what happened in round three. Round three seems to be just this. Jesus seemed to have just given her a finger. In Mark chapter 7 verse 27, when it is said, let the children be fed first. And honestly to her, that was like a finger extended. And then, in the fourth round, remember she's been given a finger in round three, but in round four, what does she do? She goes and grabs a whole hand. Why do I say that? Well, by the way she responded, yes, Lord, but all I need are the crumbs under the table. And she just grabs the whole hand, as it were. You see, friends, the whole aim, or the aim of this passage, is to show the actings of true faith. Actings of true faith. Honestly, it should not be missed. Please note some other illustrations. I'll just give one. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to verse 28, we read this. Mark 5, 25. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, many doctors, and had spent all that she had, and was not better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And this was her conviction. This was what propelled her. This was her sense, driving sense of need. What was it? This was her argument. For she said, if I touch even his garment, I will be made well. Wow. Here is a person so convinced. Her trust is in the Lord Jesus. And she has a great view of the Lord Jesus. That if she cannot go and address him and say, Lord Jesus, this is what I need, she was convinced. Anything about Jesus, even his own dress, his own robe, his own garment, would ooze out that which I need. Do you see the actings of true faith? We must move on. So I have shown you, in the first place, we saw the true faith will appear from the felt awareness of your need. And then in the second place, I've also shown you that true faith will not be hindered by anything as you pursue the answer to your need. Now, in the third place, true faith will never rest. True faith will never rest, will never be satisfied until your need is met. It's not only going to persevere and persist, but it will never rest. It will never be satisfied until your need is met. And that we see, of course, in verse 28. This which have called in this passage the battle of faith, trages on till her desire is met. You see, in verse 28 we read, "But be it done to you as you desire." And her child was healed instantly. And then a parallel passage, that is Mark chapter 7, verse 30, we read this. "She went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone." Amen. Now, what applications can we draw from here? Let me give you three, because time is pressing. Three areas that can be of great help to us. In the first place, I want to really address all of us, and by all of us, I know I preach to those who are believers. Some are not believers. In other words, some are Christians, they are saved, some are not yet saved. And of course, my longing is that all would be saved. But to all of us, let me say this. Being impatient under affliction or trouble reveals our ignorance. In other words, when we are afflicted, when we are going through trouble, some problem, it pays to be patient. Because it's an opportunity to learn many things, by the way. Afflictions, problems are meant to send us to our knees before God. Now, health is good. But honestly, better sickness if it leads us to God. And I say that because many people are comfortable in their homes, in their jobs, in their various occupations, schools, who have no sense of need of Christ. This is to be pitied. Are you such? Are you such a person who have enjoyed good health and generally things have gone well for you? Is that you? And what is your relationship with the Lord right now? What is it? Are you sensitive to the Lord and to His your need of Him? So I say it again. Being impatient under affliction or trouble reveals our ignorance. And if the Lord should allow any challenges our way, don't curse, don't murmur and complain. Don't bite your teeth and say, or your tongue or whatever, and say, it's my turn. Whatever has happened is my turn. I just wait for it to go away. No, that is opportunity to seek the Lord. In the second place, and I speak therefore to those who by God's grace name the name of Christ. You say you're a believer. Learn something here. The lesson on prayer. The lesson on prayer. I'll put it in a way of a question. Does your prayer life reveal something of this faith? Does your prayer life reveal something of this faith? You see, this is an encouragement for us to persevere in prayer. You know, true faith hangs on the truth of God's word. Yes, true faith hangs on the truth of God's word. Let me illustrate again, and just briefly, as regards this woman, the case of this woman. And remember, I'm saying that true faith hangs on the truth of God's word. Do you know what truth this woman heard? One, she had a report about Jesus. That Jesus, the one who does good to people, is in the region. So that's one, report about Jesus. And two, that indeed, this Jesus has come as the son of David, therefore the Messiah. That's why she cried, "Son of David, have mercy, help." So a report about Jesus, calling him, addressing him as son of David, in fact, Lord, son of David. And then, in the third place, you remember what Jesus said to her. Let the children eat fast. It is fast the children. And those are the things that she hung on. And as we said earlier, she grabbed these truths, hung on them, till she got the answer to her need. How beautiful. We therefore need to learn the lesson of prayer. For us today, what would you say is our most pressing need? And I say ours, plural, every true believer. What do you think is the greatest pressing need? Let me tell you. It is the many who are dead in sin. That should be our consuming need. They are under the grip of Satan. In fact, the Bible calls them dead in sin. But then we come to realize that salvation is in no other name. That Christ is the only hope. Because he is the one who came and died and rose again. And therefore, he is the very one again that says, go and preach the gospel. And that this Jesus, therefore, any delay where he's concerned is never just meaning no. And from our passage, the delay here was actually a means of strengthening the faith of this woman. Because at the end, Jesus was able to declare, "Oh, woman, how great is your faith." Ah, friends, with this therefore, the need we have, the greatest need, is not just our own comfort and good health. Those ones come somewhere down the line. Our greatest need is to see sinners saved. God is a missionary God. And having saved us, therefore, we too must act as our Father, our God. I tell you, with that need and the promises Jesus gives, then let us give him no rest. Let us give him no rest till he answers us and saves sinners, sinners amongst us, our own children, our own parents, our own neighbors, college mates and workmates, and people who come to our churches. They're religious, but they're not saved. Let's plead with God for them. Well, I must hurry on to the last point. The last point is to speak to those of you who are not saved. And I want to urge you to see Christ as your only hope. See Christ as your only hope. You see, it's because only He, Christ, can do helpless sinners good. And you know, all you need is to feel your need of Him. Do you know something? Very seriously, I say this. You are better off than that Canaanite Gentile woman. Yeah. With you now, you have no barriers. Instead, you have all the more reasons to believe in the Lord Jesus. You know what? He died and rose again. And He has given authority now for preachers to declare, to proclaim the Jews and the Gentiles that now they are equal before Him. Yes. All are saved by faith in Him alone. Therefore, whoever you are, a boy, a girl, a man, and a woman, call upon the name of the Lord and confess your unworthiness. Listen, you are, confess your unworthiness. Don't let pride keep you away. Remember the woman in our passage. She was called a house dog. And she said, "Yes, Lord." And the house dog, yes, just waits for crumbs to fall, and that's what I'm longing for. The children of the house, in honestly where we are concerned now, the children of the house have been given their food, and generally speaking, they have rejected it. That is what has happened with the Jews, generally speaking. They've rejected the food. They've rejected the Christ. It's all ours to receive by faith. Christ is the one I'm proclaiming as available. He is available. Would you reject Him and let Him pass? Surely. Would you not rather plead with Him that He may bless you with His salvation? Call on Him now that you may be saved. Oh, any affliction that the Lord may have been pleased to bring your way, whatever form of affliction, turn that to an opportunity to cry, "Lord, help me." Let us pray. Oh Lord, You are the Savior for sinners. Have mercy. Bring good from this which we have sinned. May Your name be glorified. Bring salvation. Bring salvation. Hear and be gracious. In Jesus' name, amen.